following takes place between 6 p.m. and 7 p.m.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here where we need ya.
Back here where we need ya.
Yeah, we tease him a lot, 'cause we got him on the spot. Welcome back.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Hello and welcome to Tech Access Weekly, episode 97 for June 16th, 2011.
The wreck of the old 97er.
Yes.
Or old 97 wreck.
Wreck of the old 97.
There. Yeah, there's a song. There's a song in there somewhere. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Probably Roy Acuff.
Probably. Whereas Jaws says, a cuff.
Oh, you didn't mean cough. Okay.
No, I did not.
You weren't expecting that, were you?
Well, sort of, but not as a fake cough.
Oh.
I was expecting your whatever's been going on with you all day today.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, after our hiatus, we are back now in full steam, going full speed ahead. I will say, Rodney was here the whole time. I was the one who had to take a special leave of absence. And it was not a cool thing. There was some personal family stuff involved. So I'm glad to be back. And let's see, what do we have this episode to catch up on?
Well, first we will at least say that we were thankful for the well wishes that folks had sent in over that period of time.
Yeah, thank you so much for all that. And when I got home, we had we also had some other listener mail too.
Ah, yes. We're out of practice with this.
Yeah, we're out of practice.
2 weeks away and we're just totally futzed.
Yep. That's what missing 2 weeks will do.
Frackin' ridiculous.
Frackin' frustrating.
Exactly.
Anyway, we had some listener mail. First, we had a email from Linda saying that her husband jokes about her addiction to her iPhone, just like Rodney jokes about my addiction to my Victor Reader Stream. And she thinks that, and she says that her husband says that there has to be a husband app for the iPhone someplace.
We need to pull out that PSA that we did last year at some
point. Do you feel that your loved one is addicted to whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that.
I can't remember exactly what we called that, but we're going to have to pull that out.
Digital device addiction syndrome.
Yes. There you go.
Yeah, I have it still somewhere.
That's an oldie but a goodie.
Yes. Yes. I believe it was episode 40-something. We'll have to pull that out at some point. But anyhow, also, Sandy sent us an email. Was she the one who was talking about the Clear Record app? Oh, no. That was Robin Christopherson.
Yes.
Who was stating that in the Clear Record tip that I did, I forgot to mention that there is an actions button on the screen that will allow you to email the recording to an email address rather than getting it off of the iPhone with iTunes or saving it over Wi-Fi, God forbid. And Sandy also sent in an email.
Yeah, with some suggestions for daily tips. She is 3K99Mommy on Twitter.
Twitter.
If you need someone to follow. Those were good tips, and we will look at possibly adding some of those soon.
Yes, soon.
And please, if anyone has any tips, tricks, and tidbits that they would like to toss our way for potential daily tips, that would be great.
Awesome. Then...
If only Julie had said that. You know, but anyway.
I don't think I have her saying awesome.
Yeah, probably not. But anyway, you were going to say.
I was going to say that when I got home from my unanticipated trip, I received some rather unpleasant news.
I had not done a single dish since you had been gone.
Yeah, you hadn't done a single dish or a single thing of laundry since I'd been gone, so the house was overflowing with crap. But that wasn't the unpleasant news I was talking about. That was the anticipated stuff. I'm just kidding, folks. He didn't leave everything that chaotic. The unpleasant news was that we had gotten a letter in the mail from our insurance company stating that because we did not have auto insurance with them, they were going to cancel our homeowner's insurance with them and move us to some other company.
Yeah, we have our homeowner's insurance with Allstate Insurance. And in a situation of trying to reduce their risk assessment in the state of North Carolina, they are taking anyone that has homeowner's insurance only and shifting them over to Universal North America Insurance Company.
Yes.
Apparently, they're really big in Texas and Florida. Never heard of them. Apparently, Allstate has been using them for probably over 10 years, supposedly.
Supposedly. Now, although a source I have within the company has never heard of them either.
Yeah, her father has worked for them for years and years,
years and years.
But he is now retired, and he said, I never heard of them. He's like, what company? So, yeah, they've sort of done this policy. They have no alternative plans.
Well, they say they don't.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so.
So, basically, I've talked to like six or seven different people going all the way up to corporate saying, you know, we're visually impaired. We do not own a car. We have no means to own a car. And you're telling us that we can't have insurance with you. But here's a lower quality company that we can go with that you greatly trust.
And more to the point, most companies are going to be going this route. They're going to be combining their policies. It's just a matter of time before other companies start doing the same thing. So one big major company needs to realize that disabled people are a demographic that they need to consider, because if one doesn't do it, then none of them will do it, and we won't be able to get homeowners insurance with anybody soon.
Well, I mean, there's guaranteed to always be someone out there to give homeowners insurance, but if you want to stick with like the reputable companies, that want to have people using auto insurance, because Lord knows people cannot drive out there.
That's true.
Whatsoever. So, you know, I mean, that's why they want auto insurance people.
So anyway, back to our story. They have an exception that I found whereby if in North Carolina, if you are elderly and have had to turn in your license because you can no longer drive, you will still be allowed to keep your homeowner's insurance policy.
So basically, if you're 85 or older, you probably don't have a license anymore.
But with doing this, they are effectively eliminating the disabled. And hey, if you're a veteran and you get like shot in a war somewhere and you come back as an amputee, what a great way to show appreciation to our military personnel by saying, oh, you can't drive now, so you no longer have auto insurance, so there goes your home insurance.
Yeah.
How patriotic is that?
I mean, when we were searching for homeowners insurance to start with, you know, it was kind of like, okay, you call up somewhere like Nationwide and they say, well, your policy is going to be, say
$800.
$900.
Yeah, okay. I was taking it down. But
yeah, well, $900 to $1,000 a year, you know, for homeowners insurance. So they're basically saying, okay, you don't if you have auto insurance, your policy would only be $650 for that same length. You know, so we looked around, went to all the different companies, and Allstate just happened to be one of the more inexpensive as far as having homeowners insurance. So that's what we went with. Plus, your family's been with Allstate for years. My family's been with Allstate for years. You know, so it's just one of those things.
Right.
But it's extremely frustrating, and I went through all the proper channels and sort of went through the escalation, all that kind of stuff. And it basically got me to the point that, well, sorry, but it is a shame. And then when there are people that you're actually talking to are like,
that's not right.
You know, I'm a consumer, and that just does not seem correct whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And one girl, I swear, for like 2 minutes, the only thing she could say would be, really? You're kidding.
Really?
Really?
You're kidding. Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You told me that.
So,
anyway, we are considering, we're not sure exactly at this point, but possible legal action, but I'm not sure what we'll be able to do. And we will keep you informed of the progress or lack thereof of the situation.
Yeah. So if you have any experience with such or input that you would like to offer, please do so by sending us an email at techaccessweekly@gmail.com. Because all comments are welcome during this frustrating thing.
Yeah.
They're basically saying, well, we have a legal out because we're giving you somewhere else to take your policy.
They're not really giving us a choice, though. That's
the
thing.
They're not giving you
a choice. They're not giving you much of an option. They're making you choose the option.
Exactly.
And there's only one.
Yeah, there's
and it's only the only one they give you.
Yeah.
And you can only go never mind. Yeah. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm done. Mm-hmm. We're done. We mm-hmm. need to move on. Mm-hmm. Focus, focus.
Okay. So, yeah, that's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
More to come and Twitter ramblings occasionally by me.
Yeah, I'm staying out of Twitter with this one. I'll let you do it.
Yeah.
Because if I started, I wouldn't stop.
Yeah, but it's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to be Cousin Larry every once in a while.
Now, that's not nice, dear.
No, just kidding. Just kidding. We kid. Kid, kid, kid.
Uh-huh. Sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Ooh.
That was pretty bad. But we will slowly go into our typical stuff here. Start out with a little bit of security news. There is a weird fake antivirus that is going around for Mozilla Firefox users.
Yeah, it's really strange. Apparently, you load up the browser and it takes you into a page that looks like the Windows Update page.
Yeah, it mimics. It's an exact copy of the Windows Update. And it makes it seem like Windows needs to update. It's like an official thing from Microsoft. But the problem is that Windows Update only runs in Windows and Internet Explorer.
Exactly.
So if you get this type of message or hear of anyone getting this, they definitely need to get away from it because it will do the typical old, let's install some malware on your system, possibly cripple it and use it for a botnet.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of people may not realize that if it doesn't work, it doesn't necessarily mean that Windows Update works in both browsers. It only works in one. Only will run in Internet Explorer.
Yeah, you can't use something else. That's always been one of the things people have always griped because they don't want to use Internet Explorer.
And you know what? People may not read the What's New features. And, of course, you know, Firefox just upgraded itself.
Yes.
So people are like, ooh, cool, this actually works now. And it really doesn't.
Yeah, so buyer beware. If you're ever in doubt, always go to the main page of whatever you're looking at. Even like if you're going to your bank's website, if they say, give us your login information, don't do it. Go to the actual website itself. Don't click links and emails. You are your only defense against, well, not forest fires, but malware.
Malware fires.
Yes.
Malware attacks.
Yeah, there you go. Speaking of banking hacks, Citigroup was hacked. I never really saw complete numbers on how many customers were impacted, but apparently a customer's account was hacked and the hackers were actually able to get into the system and look at their personal online banking. And they just happened to notice that up here in the URL of the browser is a number that looks like a credit card number.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so they just started changing the numbers until they started finding new accounts, and they just started shifting from one customer to another and were able to actually grab information.
Now that's different than the information that we previously had, which was that the hackers were only able to get names and account numbers and no other information was compromised. But apparently there's some new updates now.
Yeah, it's kind of growing. I mean, well, it's one of those things. I work in banking. Whenever there's a situation like that, you get very little information. They don't want to tell what happened.
Mm-hmm.
So this new information came out from someone actually inside the company, I believe. Not really an official statement or anything like that. But yeah, the URL had the credit card number in there. Usually those kind of things are hashed and disguised so
right.
You can't read them. So, don't really know about Citibank or Citigroup, I guess it is.
Citigroup,
not sure if it's the same as Citibank.
I think it's
not.
The same. I think Citigroup has different enterprises that are in there.
Could be.
A little companies and things. Speaking of multiple. Oh, never mind. That was not a segue. It just vanished. I had one. I really did.
So,
speaking
we'll move right along.
Of
to
a large corporation, Microsoft.
Released Patch Tuesday yet again in June. They released kind of a pretty big one.
It has 16 bulletins,
yes.
9 critical and 7 important.
Yes.
Critical and 7 important.
And it covers everything from Internet Explorer, several patches for Internet Explorer. Definitely need to update those. Silverlight, SQL, SQL Server, and Visual Studio, among others. I think there's actually about 34, 35 fixes that they actually are rolling out. So you definitely want to update that, especially for the Internet Explorer stuff.
And it will ask you to reboot.
Yes, it will put you through the reboot shuffle, as it were. Adobe Flash, if you haven't noticed, Flash and Reader have been updated in the last couple weeks. You might have noticed back while we were gone that you got a Flash update if you're running Flash on your computer, which most likely you should be. Now this week, there is actually a second patch to fix some critical updates. There is a vulnerability in Flash that will actually allow for the takeover of your computer and theft of data. And Adobe confirms that this is active in the wild. So you definitely want to run the updates. I know it's a pain. You can go to Adobe's website and download the actual package, or you can do the crazy window that it pops up if you can manage to get the accessibility to work on that.
Which I never hardly ever can.
Yeah, so there's 13 of the fixes are actually for Reader, and it covers Windows, Mac, Linux, Solaris, and even Android. But at this point, the Android vulnerabilities have not been fixed. All of the other operating systems are good to go.
Solaris?
Yeah, it's another...
I know, but I mean, I didn't know Adobe made anything for Solaris.
I didn't really either, but
I don't even know anyone who uses Solaris.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Wasn't that an Atari game? No, maybe
no,
not.
No, but it sounds like it should be one.
Wait a minute. There was an Atari game called... Solaris or... Now that's going to bug me. I'm going to have to look at that.
Okay, let's focus here.
While we were away, Apple had their big WWDC announcement where they threw out a whole bunch of stuff that everyone has either loved or hated.
Some people have been really excited by this news. Other people said, yawn, and didn't find it so enthusing.
And some people at other podcasts were really fired up about it.
Yes.
In both ways.
Mm-hmm.
At the WWDC, Steve Jobs took the stage and was actually showing off Lion iOS 5 and the wonderful iCloud.
Yes.
iOS will come later because that's what everybody wants to know about.
Right.
OS X Lion is coming out. It's going to be a $29 upgrade for Snow Leopard users. But if you are on Lion or older,
you mean Leopard?
Yeah, Leopard. Yeah.
If you're on Leopard or older, you have to upgrade to Snow Leopard and then Lion.
Yeah.
And you can only do this through the App Store.
Yeah, it's kind of a bizarre thing. You're only going to be able to download the 4 GB download from the App Store. They're not going to really be, they may be selling them in stores. I'm not really clear on that.
I mean, I think obviously the computers that are going to be, you know, built are going to have them on them, but I don't know that they're selling them in stores on DVDs or not. 4 gigs seems awful small, by the way. Anyway.
Well, that's greatly compressed.
Yeah. Though. Yeah, but still.
So it's one DVD. Yeah. You know,
so very strange that it's in the App Store only. Mac App Store, we should specify. Not a lot is known about what's actually going to be new in Lion.
Well, they've got things that are new. It's just we don't really have a lot of experience with it. And we don't go oh and ah about it. The only thing that I saw that was kind of cool was Mission Control, where they're going to have a workspace that shows all of your open applications. And then you can sort of build secondary workspaces and actually interact with them. Like you could have all of your audio editing in one window workspace and then all of your text editing in another workspace. And then you can just flip between the two.
That would be nice.
And it'll sort of save the state that you're in. That's kind of a neat little thing, although I don't really know that I want that. So if you're working on a Word document or a project, you close down, you go home, come back the next day, open it back up, everything's right back where you started. I don't know that I like that. Hopefully you can turn that kind of stuff off.
I hope so. One thing that Lion will have is now VoiceOver will not only have Alex, but also... probably have other Nuance voices. You will have access to other Nuance voices like you have on the iPhone. That may be already out. I'm not sure.
It's in the latest developer build. Apparently it was sort of there a few months ago, and now it's actually active to where you can use it if you are using the developer.
Yeah. Although build. Who would want those over Alex? I'm not quite sure. He's pretty good, except for the breathing thing. That still creeps me out. Anyway, And as far as other features in Lion, we're really not sure. And as far as enhancements to VoiceOver, I'm not sure of any that are going to be there either. I think that they're going to introduce more voice recognition types of activities into the software package.
Yeah, and that's another one of the little things that they're going to do with Nuance. They're also talking about the iPhone iOS 5 going to have Nuance and possibly voice control.
Right.
The iOS developers are saying that they're seeing code in there that is not active but looks like it might be working for Nuance. This is one of those things that it may have been ready for WWDC, and then at the last minute they couldn't get something working contractually with Nuance and then pulled it. So it may come out when they actually release the next version of the iPhone. Don't really want to go into too much detail anyway, just because this has been out for a week and a half now, and you've probably heard about it and heard about it and heard about it and heard about it to the point that you're tired of hearing about it.
Let's go into some of the key features of iOS 5.
Yeah, and this is where Apple is getting a lot of criticism because it's kind of, oh, they're stealing from everybody else. They're trying to be Android or
Android's
BlackBerry.
Android's had this for ages. No, Apple's only just coming out with it.
Yeah. So one of the things that they're coming out with is iMessages, where it's basically going to be a client that you can sort of communicate between iOS devices.
Sort of like BlackBerry Messenger.
Yeah, and a lot of kids apparently in high schools like BlackBerry Messenger because they're actually able to text and everything without it going on texting plans.
Right.
So iOS 5 is going to have iMessages to do this same type of thing. I'm kind of thinking of it as, okay, they're trying to go for, say, the corporate area by getting a messaging client that will actually be useful.
Right.
Like that, as opposed to people having to use Twitter and Facebook and Echofon and different things like that. Yeah, it's kind of a ripoff, but at the same time, it's just something trying to be a little bit more competitive.
Speaking of Twitter, there is now going to be a way for you to set your login credentials for Twitter one time in settings, and then you can automatically tweet photos and things from within applications rather than having to go to Twitter and do it through there.
Yeah, this one kind of scares the heck out of me. Basically, because Twitter is not that reliable. There's a lot of times that it's got the fail whale going on, or they change their API on the fly and things like that. It's kind of like they're going to have to sit there and be...
Someone's going to have to really monitor it.
Yeah, they're going to have to really monitor it and pass information to Apple in order to keep that access going. Because if Twitter goes down or they change their API and Apple doesn't know about it, somehow that relationship is going to be a little bit rocky.
You think?
Just a bit.
Just a little bit.
Another thing that is going to be really outstanding and one of those things that everybody really wants if you've used an iOS device is the notification center. You'll actually be able to swipe down and see all of your notifications. They won't pop up and interrupt whatever you're doing.
Yay.
Lord have mercy. It is irritating.
That is so annoying. I get them at like 3 a.m. and at other various random times.
Yeah, and they just pop up, and if you unlock the screen, you didn't notice
away.
What it was.
Yeah, I know. It goes away real quick, and you're like, what was that again?
Now, granted, they basically took exactly what Android is doing and sort of using the little drop-down tray that gives you all of your notifications and things. And I guess they're going to have like little widgets and things that you can put in there, which I don't really get the widget thing. A lot of people go, oh, Android,
ooh,
you can use
widgets
and
ooh.
Weather apps and clocks and things. And I Whatever. Just don't see the need for it.
Speaking of clocks, they're going to also have a reminders thing, which is sort of like a calendar, but a little more detailed. You can send reminders to people based on where they are. Like, there's a little bit of geolocation involved. Basically like a fancy to-do list. You can not only have calendar dates of events and things, but also tasks that need to be done.
So the spouse can always pester the other spouse if they're out and about.
Exactly.
Oh, I see you're at Kroger. Will you pick up some cheese?
And some butter.
I mean, come on.
Another thing that they're going to have
is
the
newsstand.
Ooh. And you can, I guess they're trying to be like Kindle here. You can get subscriptions to magazines and things, and those that you have, they'll automatically download the latest issue to your newsstand.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's really nice.
It's nice if you read magazines and things.
You know.
Newspapers and magazines, yeah, I believe.
It'd be kind of like the Rupert Murdoch thing. What mm-hmm. is it? The one that gives you the news every day, one little thing. I can't think of what the name
Wall Street
is.
Journal?
No, not the Wall Street Journal, but that paper thing that they're trying to do. I cannot think of what
I can't think of the
is.
Name of it.
Who cares? Anyway. That's pretty much what everybody else probably says about it, too, is what the heck is it?
A couple of things that are really cool that are going to be happening.
My biggest thing is Wi-Fi sync.
Yes.
You'll actually be able to sync your iOS device while it's charging at night, so you can get your podcast and everything and be ready to go in the morning without having to go slug upstairs, get
like
the white
you do
cable,
every morning.
Plug it in, make sure I've got my podcast downloaded for work the next day and all this kind of stuff. So that's going to be really nice. And granted, Android has had that for a while, and well, since the beginning, I guess it is. You know, mm-hmm. they kind of ripped that off, but you know it's got to happen. I mean, yeah. everybody else is doing it, so why not them?
And another thing that Android's had for a while and iPhone is now getting is the on-the-air activation.
Yes.
Yay.
And updates,
exactly.
So next time you actually get the new iPhone 4, 4S, 5, 6, whatever they want to call it, you'll actually be able to activate it without plugging it up.
That is a little amazing when you think about it.
Well, it's what irritates everybody because they're trying to say that the PC is one of these things that is fleeting and going away and it's the new technology and all this. But then you get the new device and you have to go plug the stupid thing in.
Yeah, I know. But do you think that's going to be slower? Because you're getting it over 3G?
I don't know. I think it's going to be... Well, see, there's still complications with that because they really haven't said whether you're going to have to have Wi-Fi or whether you can actually do a lot of these things with 3G. Because I guess you're going to burn through your
data
cap and things if you don't have it on Wi-Fi.
Right.
Probably the activation would be 3G available, but things like your updates and stuff will probably still be limited to Wi-Fi. The over-the-air things, they're actually going to make it so that they're only sending out things to be fixed. You know, it's not like you're going to have to download a 666 meg download every single time.
Right.
So you might get a 10 or 15 meg download, which you could do easily over AT&T Wi-Fi, because I know if you click something that's over 20 meg, it'll say, you might not want to do that. You might want to wait for your...
things to reset.
You might want to wait for things to reset.
You mean your AT&T 3G.
Yeah, and wait for the Wi-Fi signal. Mm-hmm. So that's a big one. And everybody's kind of like, Android's had it forever.
Well, okay.
So what?
You know.
Safari is going to have the Safari Reader so that you can do RSS, which that might
that's
be kind of
nice. On the iPad, Safari is also going to have tabs. Not on the iPhone, just on the iPad.
No, I think they're actually going to do that on the iPhone, too. Instead of the crazy, let me pull up all of the windows that I have open
I
and cycle
that.
Through them from left to right.
I hate that.
So I'm not sure exactly how that's going to work, but can't be any worse. I mean,
no.
I don't really surf that much with Safari anyway.
The most I did was when I was in Indiana a couple weeks ago. That's
yeah.
the most I've ever surfed with it.
And a really big one is they're going to have some updates to the camera applications where you can do red eye and cropping and rotating and all this kind of stuff. There's nothing worse than taking a picture and then it rotates it in the wrong direction. And every time you want to look at it on the phone, it's upside down.
Or it's got that big doohickey thing in the center.
Yeah.
The big red splotch.
Yeah. Something like that.
And also, there's going to be a shortcut whereby you can take a picture by pressing the volume up button.
Yes, and you'll actually be able to access the camera from the lock screen.
Yay!
There's nothing worse than trying to take a picture and then all of a sudden you can't get the stupid phone open, you can't get the camera app out. What was it? Paul Thurrott of Windows Weekly said, yes, I had my iPhone 3G and my dad was there and we're sitting there and there's a deer running across the field, you know, and he's like, hey, take a picture of that. By the time he got it out, the only thing he has is a tree and the hind legs of a deer because it took that long for him to get it open.
Speaking of the 3G and the 3GS, some of these features are not going to be available on the 3G or 3GS. And I think
the 3G is locked out.
Right. The 3G is locked out completely.
It's going to have most of the functionality.
Yeah. I think the camera features are going to be limited, though, on the 3GS.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess that 5 is probably going to run a little bit more intense. So it's probably going to be kind of like people when they got the iPhone 3G, they were saying that the system was running really hot and they couldn't get it to update and do all these different things. So I'm guessing that probably the 3GS, which is sold right now for $49, is going to be that way.
Yeah, I'm hoping the 4 is not going to be that way.
Now, in terms of accessibility, there are some cool little things going on, which are kind of ripoffs of other things.
Yeah.
They've kind of done that with the iMessages is BlackBerry and
the
notifications.
Wi-Fi Sync supposedly is a ripoff of someone's app.
Yeah, that one's really blatant because the guy put it in the CDS store, and it's got a Wi-Fi signal looking icon, and Apple actually improved it.
Before he put it in the CDS store, he submitted it to the App Store, the regular App Store, and they said, "Oh, this is cool, but we're not going to approve it. Our engineers are working on something similar." So then he put it in the CDS store, and what do they come up with? Wi-Fi Sync for iPhone 5.
Yeah. But, I mean, hey, I had to come.
But, hey, he put it in the CDS store, charged $10, and there have been 50,000 downloads. So, you know, think about that.
Hey, he made his money.
He made his money.
I mean, that to me is kind of the area of where people are in right now because, I mean, even people that develop applications for Facebook, you know, Facebook comes out and makes their own, or a company like, Hasbro or whoever that makes Scrabble, they came out and took away the Scrabulous or whatever that some kids had made, you know, and took it away. Their Scrabble game disappeared. You know, other people have had those kind of issues. And seeing as how it's sort of an open market,
there's no guarantee that your idea is going to stay completely your idea forever. You know, someone's going to come and take it and improve on it and may have the same idea. So,
a lot of people actually see it as being sort of a good thing that they created something that actually forced a big company to take it on and improve it. Because guaranteed, Apple will probably improve it. But anyway, since we digressed and got away from accessibility, iOS 5, there's going to be text macros, which is kind of like Text Expander, if you've ever played with that any, where you can actually make like little abbreviations for text that you always have to type. You know, like if you're doing a signature or something in an email, you can just hit a couple characters and it'll just populate it automatically.
A couple of things that we know for sure will be there are a way to customize the LED flash to go off when there is a call or a notification.
That's LED.
Yeah, I know that.
Oh.
LED flash. LED is just one syllable.
Oh.
Yeah, combining here. LED flash to go off when there's a notification or a ring or something. And you can also create your own custom vibration pattern for different things, like a certain person is calling you so that VoiceOver doesn't announce it, but you can hear the vibration, feel the vibration pattern.
So I guess if you had a mistress, you could really set the vibrations up.
Yep, absolutely. I wish
the one thing that they would do with the next version of the iPhone or whichever version we upgrade to, if we upgrade to another one, is they really need to improve that vibration thing because it's really tame.
Yeah. It sounds loud if it's like up against a table or something, but it's really not that loud or hard or whatever you want to call it.
If you've got it in your pocket, you just don't notice.
Or I have it in my purse. I mean, with my Blackjack 2, that sucker was harsh. I mean, I had it in my purse and my purse is up against my thigh and I could just feel it through there like nobody's business. And now with my iPhone, if it's in that same exact position, I don't feel a thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, I have a lot of times when I get calls and I don't notice it until after I pull the phone out. I go, oh, somebody called? Huh, good figure. But also, VoiceOver is going to have custom labels. Now, what we kind of think this is that if there are hints for buttons that aren't labeled, you'll actually be able to label those.
In other words, if a button just says button or gives some kind of freaky number or something, you will be able to sort of expand on that and give yourself a hint as to what it does.
Or maybe shorten it kind of like that Zoom reader thing where the buttons were like long-winded descriptions.
Oh, yeah, and which I don't think they fixed yet.
I don't know. I hadn't tried it since they updated.
Yeah, I haven't either. So
or did they update? I don't remember.
I don't think they have.
Hmm.
Anyway, I do know that Stem Stumper updated yet again.
Yes, And if you want Stem Stumper, there are some updates. And currently, right now, it is 99 cents instead of $1.99 in the App Store.
Yes, and there's the still the light version is available. As we digress.
Yes.
And so that's and there's also something on the iPhone about gestures. They're going to give you the ability to create your own gestures for things. I'm not quite sure about that.
Yeah, I didn't quite.
That's something that I don't understand, and maybe that was not demonstrated at WWDC. So maybe it's something they don't have fully developed yet. But
maybe if some of those people would like to break their NDA and just sort of let us know a little bit of that kind of stuff, maybe they could give us a little idea on that.
There you go.
We won't tell anybody on Twitter anyway, so no. You can feel safe with us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wink.
Anyway, that aside, those are some of the key features in the software package itself. Now we will go to the potentially big thing. Either people yawn or people love it. The iCloud is coming.
Yeah, everybody's been excited about iCloud. What's Apple going to do? Apple's going to do something great. Oh my goodness, Apple's going to do what? Well, Amazon came out with their music service. Google is playing around with their music service where you can upload 20,000 songs, no matter what size they are, and sync it to your Android devices. Well, Apple finally came out at WWDC and said, hey, here comes the iCloud. Now, what you do is you'll be able to sync. Now, emphasis is on sync.
Sync.
We'll give the kudos to Buzz Out Loud for saying, why don't you change it to iSync? Because that's all it is.
That's all pretty much it does.
If you think iCloud, you're thinking, okay, they've got some huge storage facility and they're going to store things. No.
They did build a new data center in North Carolina, but that's not what this is for.
No, maybe at some point down the line. But you'll be able to sync your mail, documents, et cetera, all over the place. You'll get 5 gigabytes of free storage of that kind of information. You'll be able to sync your calendar and documents across all of your iOS devices and Lion. So if you're editing a document in, I guess it's Pages on the OS platform, you would actually be able to save it and then go and start working on it on your iPhone or your iPad. So that's kind of neat. They're going to have a strange one, which is called Photo Stream, which basically they stole the phrase from Flickr because that's what they call your photos that you're showing and sharing to people is your photo stream.
It will save. Bizarre. Yeah, it will save up to 1,000 photos, but then after 30 days, they will start to fall off.
Yeah, if a photo goes to 31 days, it drops off.
Yeah.
Now, it supposedly, the way I understand it, is it's going to actually keep the photos that you on the device that you originally took them.
Yeah.
But if it syncs them to, say, your iPod Touch, you're going to lose it.
They'll fall off. But if you put them in an album, they don't fall off.
Yeah, I'm not exactly 100% sure if that's true or not. I've heard mixed stories about that.
Yeah.
So it kind of brings the user having to really think about, okay, did I back these up? Did I save them to iTunes?
I'm confused. What did I do with them?
Yeah, so I can just see it now that the genius bars are going to be, where in the heck did my photos go, dude?
Yes.
I took a bunch of photos and now they're not on here. Well, you passed your 1,000 limit and you never synced it to iTunes, which there was actually a survey taken and reported on last week saying that only about 50% of iOS users actually sync to iTunes.
Yeah, that's a little amazing. You can stream these on your Apple TV, by the way.
Yeah,
you if can you've got an Apple TV, you can actually run a stream on the Apple TV. All your photos. But we digress. Yes, now, only 50% of people sync with iTunes ever.
Yeah, that's bizarre. But I mean, someone like your folks, if they had an iPhone, they probably wouldn't sync it that often.
No, I guarantee you.
You know, I mean,
they'd still be back on the software platform that they had when they bought the iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you don't think about doing. We do it because we're doing podcasts and music and that kind of things on it. But I don't know. With iCloud, as far as music goes, anything that you purchase through iTunes, you'll be able to save in your iCloud and sync to multiple devices. So you can go to your iPhone and say, oh, I want that song today. Download it, you know. Apparently, you can have about 25,000 songs in your library. iCloud is also going to give you the opportunity to download previously purchased songs and applications from iTunes.
So, that's already there.
Yeah, that's actually there in
And that was my tech access daily tip for today, actually.
Yes, as we're trying to restart that after being off for 2 weeks.
Downloading your previously purchased apps. Because actually, when I came back and went to update my apps and things, I'm like, what is this purchased thing? And I went into it, and I'm like, huh? I never remembered this here.
Yeah, and several people on Twitter have been a little confused by that, too. What
now,
is this?
Yeah, and it's confusing because I can't find my purchased items in iTunes, but I can find them on my iPhone. It's the most bizarre thing. I can find that little link on my iPhone, but not with iTunes. So I'm not sure what's up with that.
Yeah, I don't know if we've got some crazy setting with the account going on that's screwy or not. As we continue our high-level little what did we think was interesting, iTunes is going to have Match.
Ooh. They're for $24.95 a year.
They are going to actually match all of your pirated music. Wait a minute. No, they're actually going to match all of the music that you purchased from Amazon and other places, as well as your pirated music. I mean, well, not really, because nobody
any
would ever do
that.
Any
music that you have, wherever you purchased it or got it.
So they will upgrade it to probably 256K to give you a copy that you can download to all of your iOS devices. So I guess they probably went to music companies and just said, you know, you're not getting anything for pirated music. Why don't we get you something?
But then after a year, what happened? This was on Buzz Out Loud. What happens to all of your non-iTunes music? Does it go away? Does it go away from all your devices except the one that it was originally on?
I don't know. That's kind of the interesting...
Because, I mean, if you don't renew your subscription...
Well, I mean, if you're able to download these songs to your computer, what's to stop you from copying them to your external hard drive?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe one thought is that if people are actually paying for this service and they start replacing all of their crappy versions, you know, with their Snap, Crackles, and Pops in there. Never did like that cereal that much. But as people sort of clean up their libraries and get actually good music, maybe they'll start actually purchasing music for real.
Maybe.
You know, I mean, there's things that, you know, if I had a good copy of, I probably would not worry about it and purchase it, you know, but it's hard to say.
Hard to say, yeah.
Not that anybody would ever steal any music
no,
or anything.
No, of course not.
I mean, hey, I came up in the realm of Napster. That was legal for a while.
Napster and Kazaa was the other one for a while?
Yeah, Napster was the cool one, though.
Yeah.
Always liked the Napster because you could sit there and you could look at somebody else's hard drive and just sort of go, you know, I kind of want to know about the Don Ho Tiny Bubbles song. Let me get a copy of that.
Gosh.
And then as your friends, you'd ridicule you for, you downloaded Don Ho? What a moron. Can I get a copy?
Don Ho Tiny Bubbles?
Tiny Bubbles.
You don't really have that.
Yes. Yes, I do.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to play it on the Melting Pot
tiny
one day.
Tiny Bubbles. That is the extent of my musical career, other than going, welcome back.
Yes.
I've been doing that all afternoon for some reason. And then she's like, I don't even know what you're doing. And when she played the song, she was like, oh!
So I should have had that little cart. Welcome back.
Yeah, exactly. So,
didn't have time.
So anyway, I mean, this is kind of the things that Apple released. Everybody's been talking about them. Yes, I see it as Apple sort of stole a lot of ideas, but I mean, if you're in a competitive market, you sort of have
you
to catch
have
up
to
everybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And if somebody, I mean, Apple came out in 2007 with the Apple iPhone. It was a square little block, flat screen, all this kind of stuff. What happens? Every phone that comes out after that looks just like it,
mm-hmm.
or has some similar characteristics of it. Then what do? They come out with the iPad. Every single company that is putting out an iPad right now.
It looks sort of a
tablet.
It
looks just like it.
A tablet.
And they've even shown like the new Galaxy Tabs and things. And if you turn it upside with the face up, you can't tell the difference between it. But if you turn it around to the back, you have an Apple logo and a plain logo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know. I think people get a little territorial over things and how developers are getting screwed, but
right,
it's one of those things where it's business.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to do things. It's not a shocking thing. I mean, for Pete's sake, Microsoft would not be Microsoft if Bill Gates didn't have the nerve to just say, you know, let's just take these ideas and I'm going to market them and build a company based on it. That's the way Microsoft did everything they did.
Yep.
They didn't really create a whole lot that were
original. They
They took other people's ideas.
Packaged them.
Bill Gates decided, hey, I'm going to market this sucker and we're going to turn into a company.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I see good and bad and people see it as evil. It's sort of the religious thing, you know, either you're an atheist or a Catholic or a Baptist.
Oh,
drinks all the beer.
We have something to point out about the iCloud.
Oh, what do we have?
We have to point out that if you're using Windows XP, you're screwed. You're out of luck. You cannot experience the wonderfulness that will be the iCloud. You have to have either Windows 7 or Vista, or of course, Lion or probably Snow Leopard, in order to experience the wonderfulness of the iCloud.
Yeah, so that's going to be one of the limitations for XP users, but I don't really know that it's really going to be that worthwhile for someone that's not engrossed in the Apple
ecosystem. I'm really not that excited about it. I mean, other than downloading the previously purchased stuff, because that is a kind of very useful thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, if your hard drive died, you'd used to always have to call up Apple and go, please
help me. Yeah. I mean, other than that, I can't really see myself getting excited about that. 5 gigabytes of free storage space. Whoop-de-doo. I've got Dropbox and SendSpace for that and Amazon. Even if I didn't have Amazon, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah,
I have Dropbox and SendSpace for that.
And Microsoft has had SkyDrive.
Yeah.
You can get that if you buy Microsoft Office. You know, I mean, there's a lot of other options out there. But if you're a Mac family and you have AirPort Extremes and your MacBooks and your Mac Pros and your things like that.
Mac Minis and whatever.
If you've got all of that kind of stuff, it's going to be something that you're definitely going to be excited about.
Oh, absolutely.
Messaging, all that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be kind of interesting to see how data is shared when you have multiple people on one account or two linked accounts. You know, you might be sitting there messaging somebody and then your wife gets on her iPhone and starts seeing all of the messages you've been sending.
I wonder how that's going to work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I don't quite get that.
I mean, because when I look at my previously purchased apps, it comes up with everything we've ever purchased. And I found a few things on there that I didn't know you had bought.
Really?
Yes. We'll have to have a talk.
Oh, dear.
Okay, let's move along.
Darn it. I'm supposed to be secretive. Screw you, Apple! In other Apple news, as you are getting nauseated and sickened by all
Apple,
of this,
Apple.
iTunes 10.3 was released with the beta of iCloud. You can get this and use it with your AT&T Mac. Apple, your AT&T iPhones, but Verizon folks are out of luck because it's not available for less than 4.3 iOS devices. It also gives you automatic downloads of your previously purchased things. It automatically will download content that you have set. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Apple is also now selling unlocked iPhone 4s for $649 for the 16-gigabyte model and $749 for the 32-gigabyte model.
Well, whoop-de-doo.
And basically, you're going to... Don't know why you would do it.
I don't either. But maybe some people would.
I was trying to come up with something there on the fly, and I just could not come up with it.
I can't really think of anything either.
I mean, you could use it on T-Mobile, but iPhone 4S or 5 is going to come out probably in the next 3 to 6 months. And you could use it on T-Mobile, but you can't get 3G because the radio frequency doesn't work. I don't see it. But it may just open the door for people to kind of get used to the idea of having a world phone so that you can
maybe
actually go abroad and switch out SIM cards and such. I don't know.
One other last Apple thing, the Apple app subscriptions.
Yeah, they were supposed to change it so that you couldn't link out to web pages and you had to do all of your publishing subscriptions from within the apps so that Apple would get their 70-30 split, you know, 30-70, I guess. They get 30, you get 70. Well, they've kind of backed off of that. Now they're saying that publishers can actually set their prices for whatever they want to. They can't use a buy button saying, hey, if you want to buy this, go buy it here and it'll link out to something else. But you can actually subscribe to things on websites outside of your iOS device. So that's kind of a cool thing. I kind of figure that people will probably be buying things outside of iOS just because prices are probably going to be a little cheaper because publishers are probably going to upgrade all of their pricing schemes to account for that 30%.
Probably.
Anyway, now that everyone has fallen asleep by us rambling over iOS things, but we kind of missed the big week.
Let's just switch to Microsoft for one quick story that I sort of forgot to tell you I was including.
Oh, okay.
Microsoft Windows 8, which will be pushed out to certain companies who are developing programs and things for the Windows OS in September, probably not go to public beta until next year in January or February sometime, is going to have a built-in screen reader of more sophistication than Narrator. At least that's what they say, although it's still going to be called Narrator. So apparently they're trying to create something that's sort of like VoiceOver on the Mac. Now Windows is trying to do a Windows version of that type of environment. Sarah Talk, Podcast 69, talks about it quite extensively, or at least whatever they know about it, which admittedly at this point isn't much because, you know, the it hasn't come out for anyone to really test yet. So until this comes out, companies that develop accessible technologies will be able to play with it, I guess they're saying September, October, but it's not going to come out, like I said, for public beta until sometime next year, so the average Joe won't get a chance to test it until then. So we can't really say much at this point.
Yeah, I just don't... I don't know if Microsoft is actually going to build something that's that robust.
Yeah, that's my skeptical.
It might get the job done for interim things, but there's a lot of companies and people out there that can develop things that are a little bit more sophisticated than what somebody like Microsoft may do. I mean, they may come out with something that's really great, but I just don't see them keeping it up.
Well, I don't see them coming out with something that's really great immediately. So whoever, I mean, you know, if you all, like me, have invested tons of money in an adaptive solution, you know, produced by a private company, don't freak out just yet, because I don't think, you know, I don't think you'll have to drop it immediately. I think it'll still be useful for a few years, because I can't see Windows Screen Reader being fantastic, at least at the start. And I'm skeptical as to whether they would keep it up. Now, admittedly, when Apple came out with VoiceOver, I had similar skepticism as to whether they were going to keep it up or not. It seems like they have, and they have also enhanced it since, you know, its initial release with when it was initially released a few years ago.
Yeah, I think it'll be probably several years before companies that do screen readers would have to worry about it.
Yeah, but they need to start thinking about diversification. But, you know, they've got a few years left yet, I think, for the screen reader portions.
Oh, I didn't realize we had another Apple story. Apparently the Apple Nano is going to have a retina bionic.
That's an Apple story.
No?
That is not an Apple story.
It's not a retina display?
No, it's not a retina display.
My bad.
Yeah, you haven't read. You didn't even read the notes that were in Delicious. A company called NanoRetina that is out of Israel is working to develop an artificial retina. It's basically a little electronic implant the size of a grain of rice that will be implanted onto a damaged retina and integrate with the neurons in that retina to produce grayscale vision simulacrum. So if you've got a special pair of glasses and the money, price not yet determined, to get these little implants in your eye, if you've, you know, have some vision but you've got retinal damage, this could help to restore some of the vision that you lost and, you know, make you again able to read newspapers and navigate and things with a special pair of glasses. Now, the key is have to have had vision. The retina still has to be attached. It may have some damage, but this will try to correct for that. But it will, you know, it may help a lot of people with degenerative retinal conditions. And that's what it's designed to do. And it's called NanoRetina. Also, there is another product that's being tested that's really quirky. It is a vibrating vest.
Vibrating vest?
Yes.
Sounds titillating.
Well, not exactly, because the vibrations occur in the shoulders. Oh. And it's intended to be a directional guide for blind people. Hmm. The setup looks hokey, though. It's like you strap this camera on your head, and the camera takes like stereoscopic pictures. It takes like one picture from one direction, another picture from another direction, as if it were a pair of eyes. And then it feeds those pictures into the vest, and which wherever you need to turn, that shoulder will vibrate. You'd have to look like a robot wearing this thing. Although they promise that they will, whoever is making this, I forget who, promises that it will, you know, it could be taken down in size to fit onto a glove or something. But the camera on the head thing just kind of like ruins it for me.
So let's see. You get some of those shoes that help you walk and know where to walk to. You
that get this... I created in the third grade.
What?
I created an advertisement for walking shoes in like a third grade.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, go along.
So you've got those shoes that help you with walking and determining where to go.
Right.
You've got this vest on that tells you which direction to turn. You have those glasses that tell you how not to run into...
walls and things.
Walls and limbs and things. What if they all go in a different direction?
Yeah, or what if they all give out at once? What do you do?
And... a lot of blind folk like to maybe be inconspicuous. How are you going to be inconspicuous?
That's the thing. That's the thing with the camera on your head. I mean, come on, people.
You certainly are not going to be able to be styling and profiling wearing that stuff.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Especially this vest thing. It makes me think of like a police officer and a security robot combined into one. Just weird.
I don't get it.
Yeah, one last sort of experimental accessibility story. There's this new thing called hearing aid dummies. I guess they're trying to model this after a tailor's dummy, which is something that if tailors were making clothes long, long ago, they would try and fit them to these mannequin-like type things to see, you know, preformed fake people, in other words, to see, you know, what things might need to be changed in the garments that they were making. The same thing goes for hearing aids. There's going to be a piece of software they're trying to develop that's going to simulate, I guess, on average, how people hear, so that when they're developing the hearing aid, they can tailor it, you know, make it to an average first, and then based on the software's kind of algorithms, can tailor it to specific custom settings before they even try it on people. So the theory is they'll have to do less fiddling when people, you know, get the hearing aids. Oftentimes they have to go, you know, for several appointments. I know my neighbor just got hearing aids, and she's going to have to keep going back and back and back for a while. And the theory is if they use these kind of preformed tests and things, pieces of software, that they'll be able to have less of that going on.
Huh.
So it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me either, so it's not making much sense when I talk about it, but it's apparently kind of the same premise.
Ah, yes. But you can find the article on our delicious bookmarks.
Yes. Hearing aid dummies, it is called.
Yes.
So one last quick crazy and wacky thing before we go into what were you thinking.
So they could almost be the same king.
Yes, absolutely.
France is banning the use of social media and promotion on their media outlets.
Well, they're banning the names of them. They're banning like the use of the name Twitter or the name Facebook on their TV and radio stations.
Yeah, apparently back in the 90s, they developed this idea that they didn't want to do promotion of companies and outside resources. So a lot of the news outlets have started saying, well, you can follow this person on Twitter at,
you know,
well, they're outlawing that. Mm-hmm. You can't do that anymore if you're in France.
Goofy French people.
I tell you.
What are they thinking?
What were you thinking?
Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, a woman who is a little bit unstable and insecure around the edges, apparently, has gotten a tattoo of 150, is it?
152 Facebook friends.
Oh, 152 Facebook friends on her arm. And this isn't just the names of the friends. This is their likenesses, their faces on her arm.
And there's a video on YouTube showing this crazy thing.
Ew, that's just disgusting. So I guess it goes all the way down her forearm like a sleeve almost.
Yes.
It's that thickly covered with faces. Now, the article I read points out, what if she all of a sudden decides that she wants to unfriend somebody or somebody unfriends her?
I don't know. I guess you would have to go under the into the doctor's office and get them to actually remove that.
Ow.
Yeah, I don't understand it. It doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense, but it's one heck of a video, I tell you.
And that is also on our site if you choose to look at that.
Do you have to get like a privacy release or something? Did she alert her friends that, hey, I'm going to get this tattoo with your face on it. Do you like the picture that I picked?
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I don't know. Some of the people on my Facebook friends, I don't think I want them on anything I got.
Mm.
Some of them suckers is fugly.
Now, they may be saying the same thing about you.
That's true. And most likely they are. But, whew, damn, baby.
Okay. This chaos that you've been listening to for the past 3 hours.
The old wreck of 97.
Yes. Tech Access Weekly, episode 97.
You can check out our delicious bookmarks at delicious.com/techaccess/97. Yes.
And if you'd like to leave a comment, complaint, or other suggestion or similar such, you can email us at techaccessweekly@gmail.com.
Other contact info is at the end.
Yes.
If you want to check out the Melting Pot Show on Mushroom FM, you can do so on Sundays from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern at mushroomfm.com.
Yes. And again, if you would like to fill out our PodTrack survey, we would greatly appreciate that. And if you have a comment or idea for a tip, please let us know.
Yes, as we have rambled to the point that this might actually qualify for the longest podcast we have ever done, and it's all because we rambled so much about Apple and probably did so much inaccuracies. Who knows?
Who knows? But we'll have to check the time lengths and see if it's the longest.
Yeah.
On that note, we are simply going to say...
Bye-bye.
Bye. To contact the team for Tech Access Weekly, send an email to techaccessweekly@gmail.com. You may follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/TA_weekly. You may comment on our voice line at 260-2-ASK-TAW, 260-227-5829. To find a list of the stories covered in each episode, please visit delicious.com/techaccess. Feel free to visit our website at techaccessweekly.com.